Blog Talk Radio.
Find yourself in danger when you're threatened by a stranger, when it looks like you will take a licking. There is someone waiting who will hurry up and rescue you. Just call for Super Chicken.
Welcome to Backyard Poultry with the Chicken Whisperer, sponsored by Night Guard Solar, your guaranteed solar power protection against nighttime predators. Visit them online at nightguard.com. That's NITEGUARD.com. My name is Andy Schneider, but most know me as the Chicken Whisperer. My co-host is poultry advocate and author Pat Foreman. Today is Thursday, May 13th, and I would like to thank all of you for tuning in this afternoon on Blog Talk Radio. This is a live radio show that is broadcast around the world. This radio show is all about keeping backyard poultry and living a self-sufficient lifestyle. You can follow the Backyard Poultry with the Chicken Whisperer radio show 24 hours a day at our website, chickenwhisperer.com. That's chickenwhisperer.com. From there, you can, of course, follow us on Twitter, become a fan on Facebook, visit our blog, sign up for our monthly e-newsletter, The Chicken Scratch, get all kinds of great Chicken Whisperer gear like t-shirts, hats, mugs, and mouse pads, and, of course, register to win a $350 chicken coop from mypetchicken.com. All right there at chickenwhisperer.com. If you're listening live today on Blog Talk Radio, I invite you to join the live chicken chat that's going on right now. It's very easy, but very fun. All you have to do is, at our homepage at Blog Talk Radio, sometimes the chat automatically opens up. Just scroll down a little bit. You might see it going on right there. If not, click on that little button that says Chat Now. The chat room should open up for you. Take a moment to register with Blog Talk Radio. That'll get you your own unique, fun, and creative screen name. Then you can come on in, set a spell, have a great time, meet some new friends, and talk about what we all love, backyard poultry and living a self-sufficient lifestyle. Also want to invite you to mark this radio show as a favorite and request to be on our friends list while you're there at Blog Talk Radio. We hope you'll take a moment to do this today. And again, I want to thank you all for tuning in to Backyard Poultry with the Chicken Whisperer, sponsored by Night Guard Solar. There will always be something that will love your chickens more than you. That's why I use Night Guard Solar to protect my flock. Night Guard Solar has successfully been manufacturing and selling Night Guard Solar lights for over 12 years and offers a one-year warranty and complete money-back guarantee. No waiting. Night Guard Solar will be shipped within 48 hours of your order. Order your Night Guard Solar lights today at nightguard.com. That's NITEGUARD.com.
Since 1947, Randall Berkey has been providing quality products to their customers. They have everything you could ever want or need for backyard poultry. Feeders, waterers, medications, supplements, nesting boxes, and even coops. Visit them online at randallberkey.com and get 10% off your entire order when you use the coupon code WHISPER. That's randallberkey.com.
McMurray Hatchery is the world's oldest and largest rare breed hatchery. They have been providing their customers quality poultry since 1917 and have more than 110 different breeds to choose from. Be sure to sign up for their weekly special email at mcmurrayhatchery.com and receive a $5 internet exclusive coupon to use on your first internet order. McMurray Hatchery, the world's largest and oldest rare breed hatchery.
Established in 1957, GQF has become the name to trust when it comes to quality products and superior customer service. GQF offers a wide range of poultry products, including incubators, brooders, feeders, waters, and much, much more. Give them a call at 912-236-0651 or visit them online at GQFradio.com. That's GQFradio.com.
EggCartons.com, your discount supplier of egg cartons and poultry supplies. They carry a wide variety of egg cartons in paper, plastic, and foam, as well as a great selection of poultry supplies, including incubators, waterers, feeders, and more. Order online at eggcartons.com or call toll-free 1-888-852-5340. Free full-color catalog available. Mention the coupon code WHISPER and get 10% off your entire order. Be sure to sign up for their online newsletter for more great specials. That's eggcartons.com.
And the mighty bird against prejudice continues his fight for law and order. So when you hear that cry in the sky, you'll know it's Super Chicken.
All righty. Thank you very much for staying with us today on Backyard Poultry with the Chicken Whisperer. I do want to inform you that Pat will not be joining us today. She is on the road heading up to the national capital. She's heading up to Washington, D.C. She's got some meetings up there. In fact, right now, I think she's on a live radio show there in D.C. that started at noon. So we wish her luck up there spreading the good news about backyard poultry and self-sustaining living. Hopefully she's promoting her great books, City Chicks, Chicken Tractor, Day Range Poultry, and Backyard Market Gardening. All really, really good books. So she's up in D.C. having a swell time, but she will be back tomorrow. So that is good news. She's just missing one show this week. So she is in D.C. for the cause. But she will be back tomorrow. That is tomorrow, 12 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, right here on Blog Talk Radio. In fact, tomorrow, you guessed it, Fun Friday. Tomorrow is another great episode, Fun Friday. The last couple of Fun Fridays have been absolutely amazing. We've had lots and lots of winners. We've given away all sorts of prizes, Chicken Whisperer gear, Purina Mill Sun Fresh Recipe Chicken Feed. Tomorrow's Fun Friday episode is sponsored by EggCartons.com, and I'll be giving away a really nice EggCartons.com prize package to one lucky winner. In fact, I posted on Facebook this morning, tomorrow's prize from EggCartons.com is the Incredible Egg Washer. I have a link to it there on our Facebook page. Just go to Facebook.com and then search for the Chicken Whisperer. Join us there. It is a value of $115. So somebody tomorrow towards the end of the show probably, we'll have that during the show. We'll have some chicken trivia contest, some chickens in the news, some chicken chatter, and of course some great giveaways, Chicken Whisperer gear. But the big prize tomorrow, sponsored by EggCartons.com, is the Incredible Egg Washer. I'm going to click on the link here and tell you all about it. This will be for tomorrow. If I can get this page to load, there it goes. It's the egg washer safely uses water and bubbled air to gently clean the eggs. The air compressor is not included, but it is sold separately. You may have one at home already. Finally, an affordable alternative to expensive egg washers and an end to hand scrubbing soiled eggs when preparing eggs for the market are use. No more broken eggs by hand scrubbing too hard. You now can finish your other chores while the eggs are being washed clean. This unit is small enough to use in any kitchen, yet large enough for small farmers' egg production. Very easy to use. Full instructions are included along with a one-pound sample size of our popular egg wash powder. The Incredible Egg Washer does include the egg washer, 10-inch egg basket, egg brush, egg scrubber, one-pound trowel size of egg wash, combination air chuck, anti-backwash hose, support stand, 7.5-inch and 8.5-inch weight discs. So there you have it, $115.95. That'll be the grand prize for tomorrow from eggcartons.com. In fact, yesterday, you might have seen on Facebook, me and Jen, we've got eggs coming out of our ears, which is not a bad thing, but we're out of egg cartons. I ordered the last special that we had on egg cartons, and I've run out. So yesterday I ordered 100 egg cartons from eggcartons.com, and I got free shipping because I used the coupon code Whisper. How about that? The chat room is filling up as always. We have Second Advent. We've got Age of Eason. We've got Al C. Bard Rock, Bard Rock's wife, Cream City Chick, Dry Pond, East Dallas Dave, eatlocaltexas.org. Welcome back. Grape Eggs. Lots of guests in there today wanting to learn about compost. Kansas One, Lucky Ridge Girl, Love for Poultry, Newbie Chick, Penny A., Shayna's Ma, Sweet Potato, Sly Fox, welcome back. Hadn't seen you in a while. And, of course, Stephanie Urich and another guest down there way at the bottom. So the chat room is filling up because they want to hear all about and learn about today, all about composting. And our special guest today, even though Pat won't be here, will be, of course, Richard Frudenberger. He's the publisher of Back Home Magazine, a wonderful publication. In fact, I know last time Richard was on, I got a lot of emails from folks that had visited the website, and you can do that right now. Let's see, let's go there right this second. Make sure I give you the correct link there, backhomemagazine.com, backhomemagazine.com. You can take a look. You can subscribe there. I know after the last show, we had, because I got emails about it, lots of new folks subscribing. And of course, I got a comment today on our Facebook page about it. Let's see, where was it? Somebody said they absolutely love, yep, here it is. Patricia says, I love Back Home Magazine. It's one of the few good ones that I actually subscribe to. So there you go. And I'm going to, of course, when we bring on Richard Live, Al Carruthers here on our Facebook page made a little comment. They need a Facebook page unless we just can't find it. So maybe Back Home Magazine will tell Richard, share with him some comments we get that they need a Facebook fan page. So that would be awesome if they could maybe get that and maybe get a few more subscriptions through Facebook fans. That's awesome. So we'll pass that along. See if we have any chickens in the news that we've posted. It's been a couple of chickens in the news slow days. There is a Almeda Backyard Chicken Coop Bicycling Tour. You can get all that information at our Facebook page, of course. See what else we've got here. I did post, because we do have a lot of new listeners, yesterday some discounts you can get. Night Guard Solar, get 4 Night Guard lights for $100. That's a savings of $20. 10% off at Randall Berkey. Free shipping at eggcartons.com, because a lot of people might miss those. So I want to make sure you can save a buck here or there. Want to do that. Let's see what else we've got. Other chickens in the news. Nothing from, I guess, yesterday. Looks like chickens are coming to Cedar Rapids. And then if you missed it, there's a really good article, I'm telling you, from the food lab about perfect boiled eggs. It's really a cool article. It talks about the water you use to boil your egg, how long you boil it, the process, and then how to get the perfect boiled egg. It's a really, really interesting and scientific article. I invite you to go to our Facebook page and take a look at that. And let's see what's going over here in the chat room, and we'll go and bring Richard alive. All kinds of great things going in there. Grape Eggs has joined us, it looks like. And let's see if we got any others in there. Growing, growing, growing. MT Kathy has now joined us. And super. USMC Vet, welcome. And Rob's My Vamp, pretty awesome, as it's filling up in the chat room. Let's go ahead and go over to the phone lines. I think we may have Richard Frudenberger calling in here. Let's see what we've got, if this button will actually work. There we go. Hey, Richard, is that you? Richard, is that you? All righty, a few more minutes, and we'll have Richard Frudenberger hopefully calling in. Otherwise, you'll just hear me yap a little bit about composting. So me and Jen have been composting for a few years now, and it's a funny story. We had built kind of we have a compost pile, and then we've got a compost bin that just happens to be kind of within what we call our compost pile. My next door neighbor, in fact, right over there, one day I noticed he had a compost bin sitting out by his trash can. This is, and it's about $100, $125 compost bin. It's a plastic. It's kind of cone-shaped. It's got the door that opens up at the bottom where you can go get all the wonderful compost out. It's got the twist-off top at the top. Plastic, you can dump things in from the top. You've probably seen it in the Tractor Supply videos. I featured it in one of those videos about chickens and composting. So we have that, which works great, and it's actually in our compost pile. And so in the compost pile, it's actually, we built it in our garden. There's so much compost from our house anyway comes from the garden. Maybe it may be an old rotten piece of this or a piece of that that the chickens have already taken. They've gotten their treat for today. Leaves, when we have to trim or prune or take the suckers off the tomato plants, things like that, we'll put that in the compost pile. Any shavings out of the chicken tractor that we put in there, shavings out of the egg boxes as it gets a little older, any straw or hay, we'll put that in the compost pile. And then, of course, other things we may put actually in the compost bin. And I think Jen's rule is most of the food scraps that don't go to the chickens go in the compost bin, and then all the other yard waste and shavings or whatnot will go in the compost pile. We also do two other types of composting here on the Schneider homestead. We have a worm bin. It's the, many of you are familiar with the Can O' Worms worm bin. And so we have one of those in the backyard where we also put some food scraps and, of course, some newspaper and some other things in there for them to compost. Then we get, of course, all these great worm castings that we can use when we're potting plants or in our garden for fertilizer. Of course, we get the wonderful worm tea that we can fertilize our plants and our garden with as well. So we do composting. Not only do we have a compost bin, but we've got the compost pile. And then, of course, we have the worm composting. And we just received, right before we started on the Chicken Whisperer tour, the Biopod. You can see all about that at biopod.com. It's a really interesting. It's composting with black soldier flies, and it's a really neat concept. In fact, you can scroll back in our archives and listen to the show where we interviewed while we were in Dallas the inventor of the Biopod, I believe. And so it was a great show. You can learn all about it. And we put food waste in that. And then the black soldier flies come, they partake in the food waste, they lay their eggs, then we have the larvae that hatch, and then it has a ramp from where you actually place the food, and the larvae run or crawl up this ramp and then fall into a little bucket. So you have all this bucket of nice treats for your chickens, or you can freeze them and then feed them to your koi in your koi pond. So it's a really neat way to compost as well. So that's cool. Yes, and Al says, remember, you can start new tomato plants from those suckers. That is true. When of course, I always, when I buy new tomato plants, I cannot start tomatoes from seed. And I think we were even talking with Richard about that one day. But I just can't. They get long and stringy no matter how much light or heat or whatever I do. So we just buy our tomato plants. And then, of course, we do cut off the bottom leaves, bury them very deep so they get a good root system. But you can plant those suckers and then start other tomato plants. So that's a great thing to do. Thank you very much for sharing that in the chat room. Another advantage to be in the chat room, learn all kinds of great stuff in there other than just what we're talking about live on the show. So that's many ways that we compost here at the Schneider Homestead. And we're going to go right to the phone lines and bring Richard on. I see that he's called in. And we're going to see exactly what compost is, how it works, many ways we can compost, what we can put in our compost bin, how we can use compost that comes out of our compost bin, all these great questions that hopefully he's going to be sharing with us today. Richard, welcome to the show.
Oh, thank you. You said plenty about compost already.
Well, that's just kind of sharing kind of what we do here to compost a lot of our food waste, yard waste, chicken waste, and everything else to give folks kind of a heads up and get started. I know a lot of our listeners already do composting. Some people think that composting is just too much work and the benefits aren't there and they just don't have time to compost and they don't understand the process. They're thinking, great, I put all this back there and then all these flies come. And so we want to educate them today on all the wonderful benefits of composting. First, I want to welcome you to the show. Of course, as you know, Pat's not with us today. She's in D.C., spreading, of course, all the wonderful advantages of poultry in her books and self-sustaining living. So that is absolutely awesome. I don't think you had called in earlier, so I'm going to share this with you before I forget. We had some great comments. Number one, I know that after you were on 2 weeks ago, I'd received several emails and comments on our Facebook page about additional subscribers to your magazine. So we'll have you tell everybody how they can do that. But then I had two comments on my Facebook page very recently when we were talking about the show. Let's see if I can get pulled up here back when I was talking about welcoming the show today. I read it earlier, but I want to read it again for you. I just love Back Home Magazine. It's one of the few good ones that I actually subscribe to, and that's Patricia Emery, and she just loves your magazine, and that was under when we were talking about welcoming you on. And then Al Carruthers, he made a comment again today. I posted the link to your magazine website and everything, and he requested that maybe y'all look at having a Facebook page. And so I wanted to share that with you. He's requesting maybe if y'all looked into having, you may already have one and we just couldn't find it or he couldn't find it, but then you can start racking up some Back Home Magazine fans on Facebook and post your stories, link to stories, all kinds of things like that. So I just wanted to share that with you about what Al said on our Facebook page. But first, before I forget, if you'll tell us how people can subscribe to Back Home Magazine.
Well, the easiest way these days is just go on the website. It's backhomemagazine.com, and there's a drop-down menu there, and you can get subscriptions for $21.97 for 1 year, that's 6 issues, or $40.97 for 2 years, that's 12 issues. And then in the November-December months, in the holiday season, we usually have specials, I'm not trying to get people to wait for that, but they are there in the winter months. For the holidays. If we don't want to get on a line to make an order, or if you just rather prefer to take it by telephone to speak to a person, it's a toll-free number is 800-992-2546, and we can take your order for our magazine subscriptions or our 100-plus title bookstore here that we do a lot of mail order across the country in Canada and internationally even. And you could also just mail a subscription request in with a check or money order to P.O. Box 70 in Hendersonville, North Carolina. Zip code is 28793. And those are the ways to subscribe. And we do not have a Facebook page at this point. We've had a lot of requests for that, and maybe it's something we should look into. Certainly, it's worth it. And I do want to thank any new subscribers and welcome any new subscribers to the magazine who have come here from the Chicken Whisperer show, because we appreciate all new subscriptions, and we do cover all this kind of thing. It's not just about poultry. We have a lot of small livestock coverage in the magazine. We also have a lot of renewable energy, a lot of green building, green lifestyle, sustainable living, organic growing or gardening, truck and market gardening, just lifestyle, sustainable stuff that as I believe the new reader, Pat, you said, things that you just don't always get in other magazines. And there are other magazines like us, but really there's not that many. And I think we're a little more homey than some of the other ones. So that's out there.
Absolutely. Well, thank you for that. And today's subject is, of course, composting. And let's just kind of start from the basic. What's the whole principle about composting? What's the
advantage? Well, let me start from the very, even before that. Just the reason I got into it. I mean, basically, I've done it before. I mean, I've done it on and off. As I don't know if I even mentioned this on the show before, but I used to work with Mother Earth News, which is another magazine, probably the original Back to the Land magazine, where people were doing this from the 70s and 80s. And we had a farm, we had a working farm as part of the company, education center farm and whatever. And that's where I really first got into it, at least understanding it and seeing how it worked on both a small scale and a larger scale. We used the heat from the compost to make hot water. We used the product from the compost to help with the organic gardens, and we used smaller composting piles to just see how composting worked and to see what the temperature ranges might be, to see what did work, what didn't work, what kind of mixes we could get to make it either slow down, speed up, or whatever. But one of the big advantages of having composting at home is the fact that you're reducing your waste flow by a a fairly dramatic percentage. I mean, for whether you pay for your garbage to be picked up and taken off separately from your, say, from your city service, and if you pay city service, I don't think you can really stop. You can't remove your donation to the city for if you don't put your garbage out. I mean, they're going to collect the tax anyway. But for people who, like I would in my in the country here, you know, you might pay $25, $30, $40 a week or whatever to have your garbage hauled off and taken to the landfill, or you might just do like I actually do is every once in a while just put everything in the truck and take it to the landfill yourself, and you have to actually handle it. So it really is attractive not to have to handle so much stuff. Besides the practical standpoint of not having the waste stream so large, you're actually from the even more practical standpoint not having to handle as much garbage. So besides the recycling, which removes quite a bit, the composting actually removes, in my case, I'd say about half of it. I mean, it really is, because the chickens take up a good part of that food waste stream anyway, and then the rest of it goes in the compost pile. I have been looking around just in some of the articles we get in or just looking in research. The number that the official number is about 30% of the waste stream, the yard and kitchen waste stream is removed out of the system completely by composting. In my case, I would say it's closer to 50% because I can pull out all sorts of stuff and stuff that maybe wouldn't compost as quickly or I wouldn't put in the compost pile maybe as readily, just throw it to the chickens. Other than things like onions and some of that other part of the stream and even meat. I don't know how a lot of people feel about meat flow in the chicken house, but obviously you're not going to feed them poultry meat. But other than that, some people do give scraps of meat and bones and whatever, chopped up bones or smashed up bones with a little meat on them. That can go in the poultry pan and see how that goes with them. They seem to like it. But I wouldn't put meat in the compost pile. But anyway, that whole point of removing and reducing that waste stream is not totally resolved, but is substantially resolved by committing it to the compost pile. And I did hear you talking about pile and bin before, and maybe we'll get into that a little bit on down the road. But I'm at this point just talking about putting it towards the compost area, and then when it is decomposed, of course, the other great benefit is you have this wonderfully reduced, non-odoriferous and fluffy, if you did it right, fluffy compost amendment that you can add, mix with soil or add to your soil for great growing capability. And basically, with compost, what you're doing is building soil. I mean, you're not. The idea originally wasn't really to reduce your waste stream, but it was to build soil. And now we've got two things. So that's really two great and wonderful things you can do with it. And you don't need we have a couple of bins, homemade bins, posts and wire with a front door that opens or removes completely, and also have a pile of sort of slow working compost. And I'll admit that I came in on the show a little later, so I'm not sure if that's what you said when you described your pile versus your bin, but you can, I'm not sure if that's what it was, but that's what I'm talking about.
Mm-hmm. One of the most creative ways, we were going to do this with the 4-H this year, but we've got it on the schedule, I think, for our 4-H next year, as far as if a family wants to have a compost bin. We were going to make, we're going to get a truckload of old, I guess, spent, used, whatever you want to call it, pallets. And get, three pallets, four pallets, and put them together. I saw a video on that and an article on that, and make compost bins for the 4-H'ers using these pallets that they use, and everybody knows what a pallet is and what it looks like. And so we were gonna, it can be really that simple, or again, just a pile in your yard. So it doesn't have to be this $400 fancy turnable crank, composter that you see a lot of places that are very, very fancy. You can get started very simply.
Yeah, no, that's the whole thing, and that's the way we've always approached it in the magazine, also, personally, I do that. Now, you can, some people, especially in maybe in a residential community or in a place where there's not as much yard to work with, possibly would rather have or might work better for them to have one of those $200 or $400 units, and they're perfectly fine. They work well. They're cleaner. You know, they look cleaner, and they're more maybe more presentable. But the old pile or just the old bin would be absolutely perfect. I know it is because it works for me. And I'll have two things to say about that. One is the pallets are great because pallets tend to be made of the harder wood material. The hardwood does not decompose or rot as readily as softwoods, and they make these things so that they are made to last out in the rain. They get stacked up in the lots behind the warehouses and whatever, and they sit out in the rain so they don't rot very easily, and they are not treated lumber, so you can safely use them in your little homemade compost pile. And they generally are free. I mean, I probably wouldn't take one if I had to pay for it. If you go behind a store or a warehouse or a shipping place or whatever and say, you know, you mind if I take a few pallets? He says, sure, they're $2 a piece or $5 a piece. I say, you know, thanks a lot, but no thanks. You know, I'll take them. They don't have to be perfect. I mean, they can have broken slats or whatever. You know, as long as they're substantial and they're not all busted up. But, you know, you're doing the guy a favor by taking him away, and for the most part. We get shipments of magazines on pallets, and the truck driver begs us to take the pallet. You know, when we unload the magazine sometimes off the pallet, he said, please take the pallet and you know, save me the trouble. So they're not, exactly. They should be free. Yeah, they should be free. That's the whole thing.
Our feed store, they just said where we pick up some of our feed. In fact, we have two feed stores that we readily use, and we asked them about it because we were trying to get some this year for the 4-H kids. And they said, yeah, just not a problem. Just let us know, and then we'll start collecting them for you over a, you know, 2-3-4 week period. Whenever you need them, let us know, and we'll just keep them or ask the truck drivers, delivery drivers, if they don't need them to drop them off. So, yeah, no problem there. I completely agree. Get them for free. I've seen some for around $5, but I agree. I think there are plenty out there to get for free. I'm right there with you on that. And I got the combination. I've got kind of just a compost pile, and then, of course, luckily my neighbor was throwing one out. I mean, it was a bit, we've seen it whenever we go to Whole Foods, we see it sitting out there for, I don't know, $125 or something. And he had his sitting next to his garbage can, and I saw it and asked him, hey, throwing that out? Yeah, we don't use that thing. So I'm like, okay, well, I'll take it if you don't mind. And we've been using it for years ever since. So I just don't know why, because they have a beautiful yard. I don't know why they don't didn't utilize it. Maybe they didn't understand the process or what the whole outcome was, But we snatched that up very, very quickly. Someone in the chat room said something about adding ashes into their compost bin or compost pile, maybe even through the wintertime. Of course, you got to deal with the fire hazard with hot ashes, putting it somewhere. But what's your 2 cents worth on adding ash to your compost pile or your compost bin?
Well, that really depends on – ash is a highly alkaline substance, so that if you happen to need alkalinity in the pile, that probably would be okay, but I would be make sure you're not putting in older wood stoves without catalytic converters. A lot of people have come to the habit of throwing in anything that burns, colored newspaper, boards with nails, galvanized nails in it, galvanized fasteners, fittings, treated wood nuts. Absolutely unacceptable, both in the fireplace and in the compost pile. You know, people don't understand the chemistry behind this stuff, but all that kind of stuff leaves heavy metals behind in the compost. It's not much, but if you build it up over time, definitely not a good practice. So if the ashes are from wood that is just wood, it really doesn't matter if it's softwood or hardwood, but it's just wood without metal in it or other junk in it that happened to be attached to the wood before you threw it in there. That should be okay. But let me step back even further into the chemistry of it. The whole process works through decomposition of the materials, and the basic requirements are the food stuff itself that breaks down. That would be the ashes, the cardboard or paper, the corn stalks, the green material like grass or any other clippings and food waste and clover, anything you might put in there. So the green material and the brown material, I'm going to call it, make up the food part. And then you've got to have some moisture, obviously, to get it working, and you've got to have some degree of heat. It'll build up its own heat, but it has to have heat to work, and that's why you see that in the wintertime the whole process slows down considerably, and the summer it speeds up considerably. But back to the food part, the reason it works is because there's a mixture. It's not exactly a precise mixture, but it's a mixture of carbon material to nitrogen material. And this ratio, the mixture is generally in a ratio of about 30 parts of carbon to one part of nitrogen. Now, I'm making it sound a lot more chemical than it really is, but we'll call the carbon the brown stuff, and we'll call the nitrogen the green stuff. So you're gonna want more browns in there than you do greens. The brown material is sort of gonna slow down the reaction, and the green material is going to make it smell bad. If there's too much green, it's going to start to smell a little bit, and if there's too much brown, it's going to work very slowly. So the idea is to get the whole thing into that ideal 30 to 1 carbon to nitrogen ratio, or possibly, you know, high 20s or 30 to 1. So you're going to want to have more of the leaves, the peanut shells, the wood and wood chips, wood ashes, wood shavings from your mulch or whatever, sawdust, straw, all that kind of stuff that you generally, you know, yard trim and all that kind of stuff that is brown, and a lot less of the other types of material, which is green, and that's the weeds, the grass clippings. I can think of coffee grounds, food waste is going to be green for the most part, garden waste, you know, the leaves, the trimmings, the stem clippings and all that kind of stuff, manures, that falls into the green. So both of these things work together, and they work with air, which is another component to this thing. That's why we always want to mix, stir the pile up. You usually can't just leave it sit there. You want to get in there every week or so, every couple of days maybe, and just take a fork, a pitchfork, and just rotate it a little bit. I myself have something that we used to sell here. I'm desperately trying to get it back again in our little store here, but the manufacturer's been having some problems, and we're not being able to get a supply. But it was called the compost crank, and it was a stainless steel. It is a stainless steel crank that's operated by hand. It's about 4 feet in length, and the one end of it's a crank handle, which has a little hand grip on it that spins. And so you can just crank it like you would crank on a big old awning or something like that. And the other end is a corkscrew it's all made of stainless steel, has a sharp end on it. And you poke that corkscrew, which is about 8 inches in diameter. It's about a foot, maybe 14 or 16 inches in length, and about 6 to 8 inches in diameter. And you just poke that end of it into the beginning of the pile, and you turn that crank, and it worms its way in there, and then you tug on it a little bit, and it creates an air hole, and then you screw it in a little more and tug on it a little more, and then you unscrew it maybe and put it in a different spot. It's not physically demanding at all. It's very easy because it's slippery. It's a high-grade stainless steel, and it goes right in there, and it's easier than using a fork, and it does as good a job. It doesn't take up as much room as a pitchfork, but it aerates that pile, and you go in there, as I said, every 3 or 4 days, every week or whatever, and turn that pile over. For me, it was just like a weekend thing. Just go in and turn that thing over, and it brings air into the pile. Moisture should be in there at a level of at least 40% moisture. I don't really expect that you go in and measure it. You could with a plant measuring, soil measuring device, but somewhere between 40 and 75% is good. And eventually, in the as the weather gets warmer, that thing will start to cook. When I say cook, it's going to bring it to levels of about 90 degrees Fahrenheit up to about 100. Well, I've seen temperatures up to 160. It's a little high, but 140, 145 is more like it. But once that gets to that temperature, that 140 degree temperature, it's going to start decomposing in a very rapid rate comparative to something that's just sitting in a pile. When I say rapid, we're talking about in a warm climate, maybe somewhere in 4 to 6 weeks, that stuff's going to break down into something you can actually put back into the garden. I mean, the pile, if you were just to put it on a pile, it may take months to break down. So that's the difference between, in my definition, between just sort of an untended pile and a bin in which you're really trying to maintain that 30-to-1 ratio and keeping it tended, so you're sort of keeping an eye on not too much green stuff or not too much brown stuff where it's going to slow it down. And you'll know if there's too much green stuff, if it's too wet or there's too much nitrogen in there, it's going to have sort of a sour odor to it, and you're going to have to throw a little more brown in there to bring that ratio back to 30-to-1. And it's not a science. I mean, it really is a science, but we don't have to treat it like that. I mean, you just have to sort of keep your eye on it and keep your nose on it to make sure it doesn't get ripe. I have never had, mine has never smelled, maybe because I'm just aware of the fact, it does work a little more slowly than some people I've seen, so I probably got a little too much brown in there, but I also have not seen any flies or any, we've never had animals get in there. I live in the woods. I mean, we have fox, bear, coyotes, we've got raccoons and beavers and just all sorts of things that get in there. I've never seen an animal in there or interested in there because it's you know, turned enough and it doesn't have an odor to it. And as I said, after about 6 weeks, maybe a little more, just turn that stuff right back into the garden. Of course, you're mixing soil with that all the time too, so it does sort of help blend it up a little bit.
A couple of questions in the chat room. We can do, read them both so I don't forget one. One, is it okay to chip sumac and compost that? And then there's another one, would the intense heat kill the good microbes in the compost bin?
Let me address the second one first, because I know the answer to that one. When you get up into, you start getting up to 160 degrees Fahrenheit or more, you're starting to kill off the good microbes. That's the bad thing. The good thing is that most people are probably not going to reach those kind of temperatures. You would almost have to really work at it to get those high temperatures. Now, when we were doing our compost for hot water experiments, I did those at Mother Earth News back in the 80s, and we also, more recently at back home, also have a contributor here from Delaware. She lives in Delaware, but she runs a nursery. She grows herbs and flowers, but she actually uses her compost pile or bin of about 4 foot by 4 foot, it's a cube, actually runs that at a fairly high temperature just so she can get hot water through the winter to run through the beds of her growing beds so she can increase the temperature in the growing beds in the cold months so she can get more production or essentially extend her growing season in the state of Delaware where it's a little cooler than it is here, where we are, where you are, Andy. So that's one reason why you want a hotter pile. But most people are going to have trouble getting that hot. If they're running their temperatures in the range of 140 degrees or so, they're not going to be killing off any bad microbes. And even 140 is pretty common. I mean, you'll run 130, 140 is a real common temperature in the summertime.
Should we be checking that?
Sure, if you can. Just take a long. What I would use if the guys out there don't want to tell their wives who are cooking, they can just use the kitchen thermometer, that one with a long probe on it that you put in the meat and stuff. It usually has a range between 80 and I think it goes over boiling and that'll check the internal temperatures. If you clean it off good after you put it in the compost pile and put it back in the drawer. And nobody will know the difference. But that's what I use to test it. I mean, you can if you want to be that particular. Now, if it's not working, you might actually want to do it to see if I'm reaching the temperatures that I need. And I would say it's nice to have somewhere between 110 and 130. I mean, if you can go over that, great. If you go below that, it's working fairly slowly. So, you might want to keep that in mind. You can get, I guess, there are garden. There are soil thermometers that might, or thermometers that are used for soil that might go in the range, in the higher range. If you can't get that, I guess you could look for a longer probe, cooking style thermometer with a dial on it. That's the kind I use because they're pretty accurate. With a glass face, the dial, and the mm-hmm, long stem on it, that's usually about 8 inches or 12 inches long. And the second question now. Go ahead.
Yeah, the sumac. No, the sumac. Yeah, absolutely.
I don't know. I mean, it's not going to hurt. The compost. It's not going to hurt. It's going to decompose just like anything else. I don't know if the temperature in the pile is going to be enough to mitigate the problems with that with that sumac poison on the leaves. Now, with poison ivy, I don't think it would be enough. I think that with the yersinol stuff is just pretty much indestructible, and I don't know if that's the same material as in the sumac, but I wouldn't risk it as far as, you know, working with your hands and putting it back in the soil. I don't know, you know, if that's going to carry through to be a safe transition as far as, you know, not affecting people on the skin. But as far as decomposing, you know, physically decomposing the leaves and stuff, it'll do that. But I, again, if you're going to stick your hands in there raw without gloves, I'm not quite sure if it's going to be it's going to be very effective for removing the oils in that stuff.
I've got two questions.
Better safe than sorry. Yeah.
I completely agree. It's just like back when you learn real quick through neighbors and other people with lots of experience that you should never just burn a patch of poison ivy or burn a patch of sumac or poison oak. I can remember being real little and hearing dad and uncles and all talk about that. Yeah, you best not burn it. Or when I was on a job site one time, I can remember they just took a whole mound or a whole bank of poison ivy or poison oak and burned it, and the next thing you know, they were, you know, so we all know about that. So do caution with that. We're going to take a real quick commercial break. When we come back, I have two questions I'll let you ponder on, and for our listeners, one is, do we never see, based on what compost is, and I don't have all the educational background for, you know, composting, but it's like, and all the scientific data, but how come we don't see composters or composting just have the spontaneous combustion based on what it's doing? So do we ever see them just spontaneously combust? And number two, do we occasionally need to add water to our compost bin to help break that down? So those will be a couple of questions we'll talk about when we come back after break, folks. So stay with us. Our special guest today, Richard Frudenberger, publisher of Back Home Magazine. We'll be back right after this.
You have the chickens, the coop, and the run, but do you have the egg cartons? Don't put your beautiful farm fresh eggs in just any old used grocery store egg carton. Impress your friends and neighbors with your very own custom labeled egg carton from eggcartons.com. They have a large selection of custom egg cartons, stamps, and labels to choose from. Pick out your custom egg cartons at eggcartons.com and save 10% off your entire order by using the coupon code WHISPER.
One of the biggest responsibilities we have as backyard poultry owners is to keep our flocks safe from predators. Sometimes this is easier said than done. Until now, costing only pennies per day to operate, NightGuard Solar is completely weatherproof and will provide complete predator protection for years to come, using daylight or sunlight to power itself. Order your NightGuard Solar lights today at NightGuard.com. That's NITEGUARD.com.
Mount Healthy Hatcheries has been a hatching tradition for over 80 years. Home of the healthiest chicks, Mount Healthy Hatcheries offers a wide selection of bantams, turkeys, guineas, ducks, pheasants, and of course, meat birds and layers. Order online at mounthealthy.com. That's MTHealthy.com, or give them a call at 1-800-451-5603. Don't forget to ask about their free bonus chicks offer. Mount Healthy Hatcheries, home of the healthiest chicks.
Hey, it's the Chicken Whisperer. If you're in the market for a new incubator, then look no further than GQF. They have a great selection of tabletop and cabinet-style incubators at prices you can afford. I love my GQF Genesis Model 1588. It has a large picture window and an automatic thermostat, which makes for a better hatch every time. Go pick out your new incubator at GQFradio.com. That's GQFradio.com.
NightGuard Solar would like to extend a special introductory offer to all the Chicken Whisperer listeners. Get four NightGuard Solar lights for just $100 plus shipping. That's a savings of $20. All you have to do is mention the coupon code WHISPER when you call an order. Take advantage of this great special right now by calling 1-800-328-6647. That's 1-800-328-6647. Or visit them online at NightGuard.com. That's NITEGUARD.com.
Ideal Poultry has been a family-owned and operated business since 1937. Their business is built on customer service and quality poultry. From rare white and brown egg layers to broilers, ducks, turkeys, and bantams, Ideal Poultry is the largest supplier of backyard poultry in the United States, shipping close to 5 million chicks annually. Visit them online at idealpoultry.com. That's idealpoultry.com.
Actually, in reality, I am Super Chicken.
In the middle of the Backyard Poultry with the Chicken Whisperer and the MyPetChicken.com chicken coop contest. It's a beautiful, beautiful, brand new chicken coop offered from MyPetChicken.com, valued at $349, and it'll be shipped directly to your front door. Some assembly is required. All you have to do is go to ChickenWhisperer.com, click on the radio show page, and fill out the entry form, one entry per adult. So if you have maybe two people in your household, husband and wife, as long as you're over 18, one entry per adult over 18. You have to be 18 or older to enter, and we will delete all duplicate entries. So don't enter today and then 4 days later think, oh, he'll never catch this, because we have to individually look at every single one. And so, but yeah, you can do that. The MyPetChicken.com Chicken Whisperer chicken coop contest. We invite you to do that. Okay, back to our guest, Richard Frugenberger, publisher of Back Home Magazine, talking to us today all about composting. We left with a couple of questions. One, how come our compost bin doesn't just spontaneously combust? And then number two, do I occasionally need to add water to our compost bin? And also when we're turning it, is that how helpful is that, or is it needed? Richard, what's your take on those?
Well, actually, they're both questions are related. The probability of fire or any kind of heat in a small compost operation, or home style, or small scale one is almost zero, because as I said before, your moisture content really to work well is going to have to be about 40% moisture, and it goes up from there. I think I'd say 40-75%. So obviously that's too much, or maybe not so obviously, but that is too much. Even 40% is too much for at temperatures of even 160 degrees. It's too much for a pile of the 4x4 cubic foot size or 3x3 size to to have any real potential for catching on fire. It's going to have too much moisture in there. Now the center of the pile will get drier as the heat builds up. The center of the it depends on where the heat is, but if it's working in the center, it's going to dry that out. And as it gets rained on, or as you add water to it, if you have to, the pile will regain its moisture, and so it'll be too moist to really burn. The temperature's there, but you've got the material, but there's just too much moisture. So that's the answer to that one. But I will say that in a larger facility where there are actually compost municipal or industrial or commercial compost facilities, even mulch facilities, in fact more so mulch facilities where they have huge piles of mulch being processed, and some of these things are these piles you can imagine are much bigger than even the equipment, these big backhoes that make the pile, many times higher than the human. The center of these piles, because they can't turn the whole thing. The center of these piles get really hot, and they don't have. They're not working. The whole pile is not working at one time. They're working the pile along the edges. That's what's sort of breaking it down. And especially with the mulch piles, they're not really. The goal isn't really to break down the material. I mean, it is at the end. I mean, obviously the mulch is supposed to break down in the garden, but when they sell it to you, it's fairly whole chips. However, it is breaking down as it sits in that pile, and yes, the temperatures do get high. In fact, I looked up something that I thought I had read someplace, and it's true. 80 degree centigrade or Celsius temperatures are not uncommon. That's 178 degrees Fahrenheit in the center of those piles. Now, if you have no moisture, which is which is the case in a big pile like that, you do have, there are smoldering situations of smoldering core biological fires that occur in these, in some of these big facilities. So they do have to keep their eye out for that, so the whole thing doesn't doesn't start burning from the middle out. But not in the small home case. You're going to pretty much have an uncovered pile, or if you have a covered pile, there is going to be some rainwater getting in there, or you're going to be putting water in. And that leads to the second question. Yes, you will. If you get moisture levels down to the into the 40% or lower level, you are going to have to add water to just to get the moisture up, to get the process working again. The microbes need moisture to thrive, and they can't be too wet, can't be dripping wet, but it's really just moist to the touch. Adding moisture is either a matter of preferably spraying water on it, if you can, a sprinkling, and if you have that opportunity, or if you have to pour it in with a bucket or so, you can do that, but you have to mix it as much as you can after that to distribute that moisture evenly throughout the pile. And you should be mixing it anyway, as I said, just to give the microbes an opportunity to spread themselves around and continue the breakdown of that material and introduce air into the system.
We got about 3 minutes left. One last question. Is there anything that just off the top of your head is a no-no? Just you do not want to add this to your compost bin that you know of, that's just historically been a no, you don't want to add this?
Okay, two things I could say right off the top of my head. Meat products, fish meat, anything like that is not really desirable. Number one, because you don't want to attract it'll take longer to actually break down, and you do not want to attract varmints and pests and predators and all sorts of stuff. You just don't want those animals. In my case, and I'm sure in probably a lot of people's cases, the chickens aren't that far from the compost pile. You don't want to be attracting them with the compost and the meat in the compost, and then have them turn and say, "Oh, did you look at that? There's a poultry yard right, 30 feet away here." you don't really need to encourage that kind of thing. The second thing is it just doesn't. It just doesn't break down as well, and it just isn't as it isn't a healthful because the temperatures don't reach the level at which the harmful bacteria in that meat will be completely resolved. You don't want to encourage any kind of a situation where you'll be bringing harmful bacteria into your on your hands or into the soil or whatever. That would be my take on it. And the other thing, as I think I mentioned before, definitely never any kind of treated wood or chemicals. A treated wood has there's different types of ways of treating wood, salts and other types. But there could be a possibility of the older treated wood, which actually uses a very harmful substance, which is no longer allowed by the Environmental Protection Agency. But once these things are chipped up, it's really hard to tell if the wood's treated or not. So you don't want to run, treated wood through the chipper and then just inadvertently shove it into the compost pile. And it's not just treated wood, but it's also any kind of chemicals. You don't want to throw in, material that may have been used, I can't think of an example, people using fairly harsh chemicals on their rose bushes or on their bushes or whatever, and then using those stems and stalks to be chipped up and then put it in the compost pile. That would be avoided if you can, and certainly no household chemicals. The compost pile isn't an incinerator. You don't want to use it for a garbage dump. So those two things basically are the two main things that most people will run into.
Great. Well, thank you very much. We've got about 70 seconds left. So, Richard Frudenberger, thank you. And you can subscribe to Back Home Magazine. Just go to backhomemagazine.com and do that today. Chock full of information. Richard joins us on the second and fourth Thursdays of every month with lots of wonderful information about self-sustaining living. And you can continue that every month, every episode, when you subscribe to his magazine. So, Richard, thank you very much. We hope you have a great week. We'll see you back here in a couple of weeks.
Okay, well, thank you, Andy. I had a great time, and we'll talk to you soon.
Great. Thank you very much for coming on today. All righty, folks, about 30 seconds left. I want to remind everybody real quick that tomorrow is Fun Friday. Tomorrow's episode of Fun Friday is sponsored by eggcartons.com. We have a great prize package from them worth $115 plus shipping, and we'll have some more Purina Sunfresh recipe chicken feed to give away. Do you feel lucky? We will see you tomorrow, 12 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, right here on Blog Talk Radio.